This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're going to start with a nice word on Parshas Vayikru. I'm going to word well known from the Tver Shlomo. On Udom ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem and l'Bahaima. So that a person who wants to become close to Hashem, Udom ki yakriv mikem, somebody looking to become closer to Hashem, and he doesn't have a way to do it. He doesn't have a way to make himself feel like he's deserving of it, or he doesn't have a way to be ma'orid himself. He says, Min ha'Bahaima. The way to do it is to think about what happens to the Bahaima when somebody's Magdish a Bahaima. He says, this Bahaima, this animal is going to become a korban for Hashem. What happens? With those words that he said, Haraizi Koidish, he just said that it's Koidish, that's all it is. Well, Haraizi Oile, and now it's Koidish Kudishim. That's it. He just said a small word, and that Bahaima is now Koidish. He can't violate that Kedisha. So if somebody realizes the power of his speech, however simple he thinks he is, however much he looks down at himself and doesn't think that he really has a lot of capability, with the fact that he could be Magdish or Bahaima just with the utterance of a word, that definitely shows him his capabilities. So if he's looking to become close to Hashem and he takes this understanding from his ability to be Magdish or Bahaima, Takrivias Kamanchem, that will help a person become close to Hashem and become a Mishkan for Hashem, knowing his powers and his abilities. So yeah, of course, it's just a wonderful lesson to teach us how seriously we have to take our power of speech. I mean, the general idea of just knowing that we could all become close to Hashem is a wonderful idea, but it's also certainly a limit, a lesson in the power of speech, what could happen with one word. I think it's also a lesson in the power of speech that can't be retracted. We know that in the Megillah, the story of the Megillah, coming close to Purim, and we know that the Achashverosh had a problem pulling back on the letter, right? The king said something, you can't just pull back, right? I think it's important for all of us to know the same thing, that when you say something, you can't pull back like that. And I think it's, of course, there's always tshiva, and there's always ways to fix up things that weren't good. But when it comes to being makrav akarim l'Hashem, and you say, harazi oyla, it stays oyla. You can't say, well, I didn't really mean it. Okay, there's ways maybe to pull back on hegdish too, but it's definitely something to think about. The impact and the power of something that was said. With that, let me read a letter. Dear Bagruin, I really appreciate the weekly English question and answer. I've gained so much awareness from them, and they give me so much perspective. Okay, thank you. I have the following question. If one's spouse gets angry about something which one does, and during their anger they say something very nasty, as in, you're going to have to give cheshbon ha-nefesh for what you're doing, and on many days I wish that it will be soon. After she calms down, she doesn't mention these harsh things which were said during her anger, and life goes on. There's no apology for this. I'm very confused as whether I should mention that I expect an apology or some kind of sign of remorse, at least that she should say she never meant it, which I don't believe excuses such kind of speech. Is it unhealthy for me to just carry on as if nothing happened without showing in some way that such speech is unacceptable? It is not a once-off occurrence. My wife once exploded at me and my 16-year-old son, when we both weren't doing something she wanted, and she exploded saying that she hates both of us. When I asked her a couple of days later whether she apologized to my son about what was said, she couldn't understand what she needed to apologize for. I apologize for the long email, okay, no pun intended, and I know that you can't answer such a question properly with only hearing my perspective, but I would like to know whether from my side I should be putting down my foot and showing that it will not be tolerated, I will not tolerate such a way of being spoken to, or should I just bite the bullet, go on with life, and enjoy the calm until the next explosion? Thank you, and a Freilich im Purim. This letter was probably written a year ago, before last year Purim. Okay, so, you're right, I'm only hearing one side of a story, like you say, only one perspective, and it's important to acknowledge that, always. I don't see my classes as being referee, right and wrong, but he said that I was right or wrong. Obviously, I'm just trying to give perspective. It's obvious that your wife might say, for example, I don't know, she might say that you did something to provoke or deserve a certain way she spoke, which I don't think justifies it, but it's just part of a story. And sometimes it's, let me just say this, I've mentioned this quite a few times already, you'll find situations where somebody did the bigger crime, so to speak, the less justifiable thing, which is true, it's not justified, but the fact that somebody provoked them to a point where they did such a thing has to be taken into perspective. I believe that you can provoke almost anyone to do almost anything if you try hard enough. Now, sometimes you have to work very, very hard to make someone crazy enough and mamish, take them out of the kailin. But it's important. It's important to know that. Now, this topic is often misinterpreted, and people often will blame the other person for something they did, even though it's not their fault, it is their fault. And my point is just to give perspective that, yeah, there are times that you can get someone to say crazy things, and even though they shouldn't have said it, but maybe you got them to. But I don't have reason to think that that's what you're describing here. I'm just mentioning it. Another thing that you want to might take into consideration, which also doesn't justify anyone, but maybe you say the same thing? I don't know. Maybe your wife will say, well, you should only know what he says, and maybe it's even worse. I don't know. My point is just that we're going to be addressing the question as is. You know, there's the old rant that children, the old nursery rhyme, maybe it's called sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I think everyone knows that obviously makes no sense. Emotional and verbal abuse are often worse than physical abuse. Physical abuse obviously is also not okay, but I think that some people just see it as, well, somebody's hitting you or beating you or whatever it is, that's obviously a huge problem. But if somebody's just saying something, okay, so they said it, so you bite the bullet, as you said. You should never underestimate the damage caused by verbal abuse or emotional abuse. It's terrible. Somebody says nasty things or mean things, you know, it's terrible. The fact that somebody said it when they were angry, so of course you have to take it with a grain of salt and realize that they were angry, but on the other hand, if you say something when you're angry and somebody's mentioning it and using it against you, you know, that's what you said when you were angry, and you're like, yeah, but I was angry, so yeah, it's on. You have to understand that I didn't mean it. And we know the Gemara says, Udem nikl bekoise bekise bekasoi. Right? That's when you see what a person's really about, when he gets angry. If somebody is drunk on Pidim and he says something very stupid, it's not an excuse to say, well, I was drunk, because if that's what you said when you were drunk, chances are that's what you think all year round. So you have to be careful. That's why some people shouldn't be drinking too much, because, you know, nifnas yayin yutasot. My point is that when you say something, when you're very angry, sometimes it goes into the category of udem nikr bekasoi, and you just exposed, you just reveal something that's going on in your mind. And you can't tell someone, well, I was angry. If that's what comes out when you were angry, you know, maybe it is saying something about how you feel in general. You know, we know the Gemara says, Shita di nika da'ab of ni'ima. The Gemara, at the end of Psechta Megillah, you hear a child saying something, you know it's coming either from his father or mother. He picked it up somewhere. So somebody's saying something when they're angry, it could be that it's coming from somewhere, and that's why it should never just be washed away. So my point was just that verbal abuse is a big problem, and shouldn't be seen as something small, and the fact that you say something only when you're angry is definitely not an excuse. Now, let's go to the other side, because the person who's asking the question is not the one that has to hear that. I think it's important for the other person to know how to react properly, to know that, you know, if you're a victim of verbal abuse, then sometimes you do have to know how to not take something face value. There's something that people say when they're angry, and it's not necessarily revealing how they really feel. It's just like when a kid tantrums, right? You have a children tantrum, and they scream at the parents, I hate you. I hate you, right? Most parents know that's how kids talk sometimes when they're very angry. Right? It's not okay, and not all children talk like that, and etc. But that's what they say when they're angry, and you don't have to get so offended and assume that that's really how they feel all along. I think I once mentioned this in the past. I was had a child in the ICU, Shmei Gadach, when my daughter was young. She was in the ICU for a while, and the doctors kept on scaring us with all kinds of worst case scenario things that might happen, and this could happen, that could happen. It was very, very scary, and I didn't know, you know, how to interpret it. And then I saw somebody in the hallway, and he was more acquainted over there, and he asked me what's going on. I said, you're so worried. I said, listen, they're telling me this might happen, that might happen. Let me check it out for you. And this person went to the head doctor over there and came out a few minutes later. Nah, it's nothing. It's all just ICU sprach. In other words, it's just the way they talk in the ICU. Don't take it so seriously. They're telling you all the worst case scenarios that might happen, but that's how they talk over here. It doesn't mean that's probably what's going to happen at all. In Baruch Hashem, things turned out nicely. It was very comforting to know. I didn't know that. I'm not used to this. I'm not used to being in an ICU. And so you have people there who know how to help people out because they're used to it. You know, if that's how they talk in the ICU, it doesn't mean they have to take it so seriously. So if somebody is talking a certain way when they're angry, okay, take it with a grain of salt. It doesn't mean that's necessarily how they always feel. That's in terms of just understanding it and interpreting it properly. In terms of reacting, I mean, I think it's obvious, but it still should be said. You have to make sure that you never react or get pulled down to somebody's level of any kind of abusive behavior. You're saying that, well, he hit me, so I hit him back, right? We know when it comes to children, we always say, oh, that's not an answer, okay? If somebody's being nasty to you or saying something nasty or abusive, you should never get pulled down to that person's level and react and reply in the same manner. It's very important to remember. The fact that you could excuse it, or you say, well, you said it first, nobody's ever going to be able to confront you or blame you for something like that. You shouldn't ever react that way, obviously. That shouldn't be your way of getting someone else, you know, to be quiet, etc. And in general, you shouldn't be intimidated by it. You shouldn't be intimidated or get pulled down by somebody's behavior. Very often, somebody's talking to you a certain way, a certain nasty way, because they're trying to intimidate you or manipulate you into something. I think that there are a lot of women out there. I'm only saying it's women. It's nothing to do with women. Right? People tell me that sometimes I sound pro-men. I'm trying not to. This has nothing to do with men or women. I think that the same story, the same letter would have been written by a woman whose husband's talking to her this way. I think everything I'm saying would be the exact same. It could be sometimes the examples I give. First of all, many times it's the women writing in letters. In this case, it's a man. But my clients are men because I sit with men. So some of my stories sometimes get a little twisted. But the point is all the same. I don't think it makes a difference if it's man or woman. But I think that there are women out there who, if they would know that when their husband goes for help to someone from bias, that person shows the person helping them just to get a better picture. These are the text messages I got from my wife. I mean, they'd be mortified. I think if people would only realize that when you're texting nasty to someone, he might go show that to someone. And I think he has every right if he's trying to get help. And a lot of times, these kind of nasty messages, these kind of unheard of way of messaging someone, it's all just a manipulative way of trying to knock someone's confidence, make them feel bad, and get them to do things and maneuver them into responding a certain way or doing a certain thing. I think that's one of the first things that everyone has to know. Just like, again, when a child is tantruming, you can't give in to that. If it's going to work, you're teaching someone that this is the way to get through to me. If you don't like what I'm doing, scream at me, be nasty, start threatening or degrading, and I'll do what you want. So that's the second thing not to do. Okay, the first thing is not to do to respond the same way, and the second thing not to do is to be controlled or intimidated by it into doing something that someone's trying to get you to do using those tactics, which aren't good. I think that in the moment, when somebody's talking like that, the best thing to do is just to ignore it. And we spoke about this, I think it was last week, maybe in the Yiddish class. Not because it's okay at all. And ignoring it means not giving in either. The point is just, when somebody's that angry and they're saying something that ridiculous or that nasty, for lack of a better word, there's nobody home. There's nobody to talk to then. That's not the time to address the fact that somebody's talking in a way that's unacceptable. Right? It's important to, I guess, if it happened the first time, let's call it. I think the best thing, especially if it's something that's happening again and again and you're learning the patterns, I think the best thing is to know how to address it in a calm moment with all the bumpers, as I call it, knowing how to sit someone down and say, listen, I don't think you meant it, and I do understand that you were angry, and it could be that I'm at fault why you were angry. There's a lot of different ways you could cushion the message that it doesn't sound personal or what's the word? You're blaming the person for doing something wrong or nothing degrading. This is not who you are. It's not now I see the real you. Nothing about that. Nothing about that. It could be it's not your fault and you didn't mean it. All the things that the person would want to hear or would want to reply. The comment that you said, not you, the comment that you said made me feel terrible. So you're talking about yourself and how it made you feel. Regardless of if somebody didn't mean it or didn't mean it or somebody was justified for saying it. You would appreciate an apology. It would mean a lot to you to hear that it was that the person, your wife, your husband, didn't mean it, and that they're sorry for making you feel a certain way. I think that's fine. I think it's normal. It's normal. Just to bite the bullet and go on and make believe it was okay and have it happen again and again is not the right thing to do. If it happened only once, you know, maybe you want to ignore it. But if it's something that's recurring, I think you do want to address it. Again, in a calm moment, in the right tone, with zero confrontation, talking about your feelings and how you would appreciate an apology. Not how that person has to or should have apologized and things like that. You don't want to get stuck also not on demanding an apology, because then sometimes you just get yourself in a gridlock where if I don't get an apology, then this, and then you don't get it, and then you get stuck on, you know, pulling back or whatever. I don't think you have to demand it. I think you want to be clear about the fact that you're not okay with what was said and that it's not acceptable. I think it's also important to mention that the next time, right, you always want to be a step ahead so that next time when that happens, even when somebody is in a moment of rage or whatever it is, they'll understand why you're doing something, which is not something you could introduce in the moment. The next time I'm spoken to that way, I might have to dot, dot, dot. Now, what that dot, dot, dot is, it's only something that you're ready to do, first of all, which I think you should be ready to do if somebody's being that abusive, you know, cursing or whatever it is, that's totally not acceptable. And also something related. It's also something related. In other words, you know, sometimes people get, and same thing with children, by the way. I'm just applying it to this scenario of husband and wife. You know, sometimes people will say, like, if you talk to me again that way, I'm not going to give you money for your shoes. Well, talking this way in the shoes, they're unrelated. And even though I think it does make sense on some level to say that if you're going to abuse me this way or make me, then I'm not going to just fund your shoes. It does make sense. But in order to make someone understand it, I think it's better the more it's related. If you talk to me this way, it shuts me down because I don't feel good. I'm not going to be able to respond to you. I don't mean to give you silent treatment, but I can't respond when I spoke to you that way. It could take an hour till I get back to myself, for example. Or if I ever feel this way again and I'm spoken to in a way that I feel is degrading and abusive, and again, we're talking about something that really is degrading and abusive and not just you know, something about... I don't want to go into it now, all the different examples, because there are things that people say which are relatively acceptable, and there are things that are totally intolerable. Somebody's, you know, saying something that's overdone. The point is that if I feel this way and I feel spoken this way, I might just have to walk out because I can't handle it. Not because you're wrong, not because I'm trying to get back at you. I might have to walk out. My point is that if you clarify how you feel and you talk about things in a calm moment, I think it's fine to let people know that this is not okay. It's not okay to be spoken to a certain way. It's not okay to be treated a certain way. It's not okay to be put down, etc. So like I said, you should only be clear, you know, if you're really up to doing something like that and not just give some threats, etc. But I think it's fine to let someone know that if they get verbally abusive just because they're angry, it's not okay. And if they want to make believe that nothing happened and move on, and then of course it's going to happen again and again, I think that's also not okay. I think it's helpful for both of you. You know, you could be nice about it. You could stay nice about it. Doesn't have to get personal. Doesn't have to ruin the relationship. Doesn't have to ruin all the vibes. I think it's important to let people know how you feel and how you would like to be treated. I think that's fine. Now, going into the apology thing, right? Just because there are people that, it seems, again, it's not the questioner, but this is unfortunately very often that somebody feels that, you know, you owe me an apology and I have no idea what I'm apologizing for. It's sad when people only apologize when they really understand exactly why they're apologizing and agree that they were 100% wrong about it, not 90%, 100% wrong about it, and that nobody else did anything that may have had any shaykhs to it at all or ever had in the past done something similar. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Now, this is also, it's a tricky topic because there are times when people demand apologies in totally irrational places. And I've seen that, and then it's a mistake to keep on saying I'm sorry. So it gets a little tricky when people try to apply this on their own, and it's only so much information I can give in a class. I've seen many, many situations where people are demanding apologies for things that are totally unreasonable. You have to apologize to me because you made me feel a certain way by not asking me if you could bench at the end of the meal. Or by picking up a phone to your mother when we were in the car, you have to apologize. Okay, so what happens once and you want to apologize, you could try. But when this becomes a normal thing, like you have to apologize for this and apologize for that, it's fine to say, listen, I really don't think I did something wrong. And it's hard for me to apologize, you know, for everything that you demand. At the same time, when somebody's telling you clearly how you said something wrong or did something wrong, it's important to apologize, even if you don't understand it. So it gets a little tricky. And most often, the objective third party will easily understand the difference between when apology is called for, and you should be giving it even if you don't understand it, and when apology is not called for, and you shouldn't be giving it just because someone's trying to put you down and make you feel like you did something wrong. So that's just the most I could offer about that. But yes, you should be apologizing if you hurt someone's feelings, even if for whatever reason you claim not to understand it. I've seen people get so stuck on this, like, I'll apologize the second I understand what I did wrong, even though it's pretty obvious what they did wrong. It's just a resistance. But the person getting the apology, you shouldn't wait for someone to mean it. You shouldn't wait for someone to mean it. You accept it. And I think your main focus should be on making sure it doesn't happen again, instead of dwelling on the past. You know, in general, I think you shouldn't dwell on the past. Sometimes people bring up the past. People that are talking about stories with such passion and such, they're reliving a moment that happened 7 years ago or 70 years ago. I don't know how long ago. And sometimes it's almost comical to hear people talking with such emotions about something that happened. You could think it happened yesterday or last week at least, or this month. You talk about something that happened so long ago and never repeated itself. So it's very important to know how to move on. And when somebody does apologize, like I said, your main focus should just be on making sure it doesn't happen again. So, yeah, I did mention last week, and I'm going to end off again by saying that there's always a need for introspection. If somebody is screaming at you or abusing you or hurting your feelings or whatever it is, there's always a time and place to just sit down and think, why is this happening? Am I treating this person poorly? Should I be doing something better? Were there ways I could have avoided this, even if it's not my fault? There's always a lot of that that's necessary, and I saved it for the end because, you know, when somebody's being verbally abusive, that's not the answer. The answer is not, well, you could have avoided it. You didn't have to provoke me. But it's true. Sometimes you could have. So I do think that everyone on their own, in their own personal space, should know how to think into what could be done differently. If it's a pattern that keeps on happening, most often there are things that you could do differently to avoid it. So it's mamash a shame that you're not doing that. So that's just something to think about. So I think that, you know, just to summarize, you know, verbal abuse should never be justified, and it's not okay. And if you're saying something even because you're very angry, you know, that alone is worth thinking about. Why is this coming out when you're angry, etc.? The person hearing it doesn't have to react in the same manner or get so impressed by it, but I think the focus should be on addressing it when things are calm and making it clear how you feel. And yes, apologies are always very in place. And that's why there's apology. We know that Shiva is Kodma Lo'ilam. Hashem made a world, and he prefaced it with Shiva because we're all going to mess up. So before anything, there's an option of making sure that we could do Shiva and you know, make up for what happened. And I think when it comes to relationships as well, it's so important to understand that's what apology is about. We all tend to mess up, and it's fine, it's expected. And you say, I'm sorry. And somebody who can't say, I'm sorry, is just making it worse, the fact that they messed up. Because then you're not being able to pull that back. So I think that, like we started off with, you know, we do have to learn the power of speech from the Parsha of Karbunas. We do have to learn that once you say something, you can't pull back so easily. And we do have to learn that when you're sensitive about what you say, and that when you do mess up, you know how to apologize for it. You know, I think that all just makes us connect better and feel better and helps us live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.